his speed had definitely slowed. 6 years after he left high school, he was holding a job that wasn't much better than mine. He was the only one at the warehouse with whom I was on friendly terms. I was valuable to him as someone who could remember his former glory, who had seen him win basketball games and the Silver Cup in debating. He knew of my secret practice of retiring to a cabinet in the washrooms to work on poems when business was slack in the warehouse. He called me Shakespeare. And while the other boys in the warehouse regarded me with suspicious hostility, Jim took a humorous attitude toward me. Gradually, his attitude affected the others. Their hostility wore off, and they also began to smile at me, as people smile at an oddly fashioned dog who trots across their path at some distance. I knew that Jim and Laura had known each other at Soldan, and I had heard Laura speak admiringly of his voice. I didn't know if Jim remembered her or not. In high school, Laura had been as unobtrusive as Jim had been astonishing. If he did remember Laura, it was not as my sister. For when I asked him to dinner, he grinned and said, "You know, Shakespeare, I never thought of you as having folks." He was about to discover that I did.
Why are you trembling?
Oh, Mother, you've made me so nervous.
Have I made you nervous?
By all this fuss, you make it seem so important.
I don't understand you, Laura. You can be satisfied with just sitting at home, and yet whenever I try to arrange something for you, you seem to resist it. Oh, now, you take a look at yourself. Oh, no, wait. Wait just a moment. I have an idea.
What is it now? Mother, what are you doing?
They call them gay deceivers.
No, I won't wear them.
You will?
Why should I?
Because, to be painfully honest, your chest is flat.
You make it seem like we were setting a trap.
Oh, pretty girls are a trap. A pretty trap, and men expect them to be. Now, look at yourself, young lady. This is the prettiest you will ever be. Now, I've got to go fix myself now. Oh, you're going to be surprised by your mother's appearance. Oh, it isn't dark enough yet. Oh, now, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to make a spectacular appearance.
What is it, Mother?
Now, you possess your soul in patience. You will see. Something I've resurrected from that old trunk. Now, styles haven't changed so terribly much after all. Now, look at your mother. This is the dress in which I led the cotillion. Won the cake war twice at Sunset Hill. Wore one spring to the governor's ball in Jackson. See how I sashayed around a ballroom, Laura. Now, I wore it on Sundays for my gentleman callers. I had it on the day I met your father. I had malaria fever all that spring. Change of climate from East Tennessee to the Delta. Weakened resistance. Had a little temperature all the time. Now, not enough to be serious, just enough to make me restless and giddy. Invitations poured in. Parties all over the Delta. "Now, you stay in bed," said Mother. "You have a fever." But I just wouldn't. I took quinine, but I kept on going, going. Evenings, dances, afternoons, long, long rides, picnics. Oh, lovely. So lovely. That country in May, all lacy with dogwood, literally flooded with jonquils. That was the spring I had a craze for jonquils. Jonquils became an absolute obsession. Mother said, honey, there is no more room for jonquils. And I still kept on bringing in more jonquils. Wherever I saw them, I'd say, stop, I see jonquils. I made the young men help me gather the jonquils. It was a joke, Amanda and her jonquils. Finally, there was no more vases to hold them. Every available space was filled with jonquils. No vases to hold them? All right, I'll hold them myself. And then I met your father. Malaria fever and jonquils, and then this boy. Well, I hope they get here before it starts to rain. I gave your brother a little extra change so he and Mr. O'Connor could take the service car home.
What did you say his name was?
O'Connor.
What is his first name?
Oh, I don't remember. Oh, yes, I do. It was Jim.
Not Jim.
Yes, that's what it was. It was Jim. I've never known a Jim that wasn't nice.
Are you sure his name is Jim O'Connor?
Yes. Why?
Is he the one that Tom used to know in high school?
Well, he didn't say so. I think he just got to know him at the warehouse.
There was a Jim O'Connor we both knew in high school?
Mm-hmm.
If that is the one that Tom is bringing to dinner, you'll have to excuse me. I won't come to the table.
What sort of nonsense is this?
You asked me once if I'd ever liked a boy. Don't you remember I showed you this boy's picture?
Wait, you mean the boy you showed me in the yearbook?
Yes, that boy.
Laura, were you in love with that boy?
I don't know, Mother. All I know is I couldn't sit at the table if it was him.
It won't be him. It isn't the least bit likely. But whether it is or not, you will come to the table. You will not be excused.
I'll have to be, Mother.
Oh, I don't intend to humor your silliness, Laura. I've had too much from you and your brother both. So just sit down and compose yourself till they come. Now, Tom has forgotten his key, so you'll have to let him in when they arrive.
Oh, Mother, you answered the door.
Oh, I'll be in the kitchen busy.
Oh, Mother, please answer the door. Don't make me do it.
I've got to fix the dressing for the salmon. First, silliness over a gentleman caller.
Oh.
Laura, sweetheart, the door. Laura, that is your brother and Mr. O'Connor. Will you let him in, darling?
Mother, you go to the door. Please, please.
What is the matter with you, you silly thing?
Please, you answer it. Please.
I told you I wasn't going to humor you, Laura. Why have you chosen this moment to lose your mind?
Please, please, please. You go.
You'll have to go to the door because I can't.
I can't either.
Why?
I'm sick.
I'm sick, too, of your nonsense. Why can't you and your brother be normal people? Fantastic whims and behavior. Oh, preposterous goings on. Now, can you give me one... Come in, just one second. Why? You should be afraid to open a door. Now, you answer it, Laura. Now, Laura Wingfield, you march right to that door.
Yes. Yes, Mother.
Laura, this is Jim. Jim, this is my sister, Laura.
I didn't know that Shakespeare had a sister.
How do you do?
Okay. Well, your hand's cold, Laura.
Yes, well, I've been playing the Victrola.
Must have been playing classical music on it. You ought to play a little hot swing music to warm you up.
Excuse me? I haven't finished playing the Victrola.
What was the matter?
Oh, with Laura? Laura is terribly shy.
Shy, huh? It's unusual to meet a shy girl nowadays. I don't believe you ever mentioned that you had a sister.
Well, now you know I have one.
Where are you going?
I'm going out on the terrace.
You know, Shakespeare, I'm going to sell you a bill of goods.
What goods?
A course I'm taking. Huh. In public speaking. You and me, we're not the warehouse type.
Thanks. It's good news. What has public speaking got to do with it?
Well, it fits you for executive positions. I'll tell you, it's done a hell of a lot for me.
In what respect?
In every. Ask yourself, what's the difference between you and me and the men in the office down front? Brains? No. Ability? No. Then what? Just one little thing.
What is that one little thing?
Primarily, it amounts to social poise. Being able to square up to people and hold your own on any social level.
Tom?
Yes, Mother? Yes, Mother.
You just make yourself comfortable out there.
Yes, Mother.
Ask Mr. O'Connor if he'd like to wash his hands.
Oh, no. No, thank you. I took care of that at the warehouse. Tom?
Yes?
Mr. Mendoza was speaking to me about you.
Favorably.
What do you think?
Well,
You're going to be out of the job if you don't wake up.
I am waking up.
You show no signs.
The signs are interior. I'm planning to change. I'm right at the point of committing myself to a future that doesn't include the warehouse and Mr. Mendoza, or even a night school course in public speaking.
What are you gassing about?
I'm tired of the movies.
Movies?
Yes, movies. Look at them. All those glamorous people having adventures, hogging it all, gobbling the whole thing up. You know what happens? People go to the movies instead of moving. Hollywood characters are supposed to have all the adventures for everybody in America, while everybody in America sits in a dark room and watches them have them. Yes, until there's a war. That's when adventure becomes available to the masses. Everybody's dish, not old Gables. Then the people in the dark room come out of the dark room to have some adventures themselves. Good, goody. It's our turn now to go to the South Sea Island, to make a safari, to be exotic, far off. But I'm not patient. I don't want to wait till then. I'm tired of the movies, and I'm about to move.
Move?
Yes.
When?
Soon.
Where? Where?
I'm starting to boil inside. I know I seem dreamy, but inside, well, I'm boiling. Whenever I pick up a shoe, I shudder a little, thinking how short life is and what I am doing. Whatever that means. I know it doesn't mean shoes. Except there's something to wear on a traveler's feet. Look.
What?
I'm a member.
The Union of Merchant Seamen?
I paid my dues this month instead of the light bill.
You'll regret it when they turn the lights off.
I won't be here.
How about your mother?
I'm like my father. The bastard son of a bastard. See how he grins on the wall in there? And he's been absent going on 16 years.
You're just talking to drip. How does your mother feel about it?
Shh. Here comes mother. Mother is not acquainted with my plans.
Where are you all?
On the terrace, mother.
Oh. Well. So, this is Mr. O'Connor.
Evening, ma'am.
Now, introductions entirely unnecessary. I've heard so much about you from my boy. I finally say to him, Tom, good gracious, why don't you bring this paragon to supper? Oh, well, I like to meet this nice young man at the warehouse instead of just hearing him sing your praises so much. I don't know why my son is so standoffish. That's not Southern behavior. Let's sit down and, I think we could stand a little more air in here. Tom, will you leave the door open? I felt a nice fresh breeze a moment ago. Where's it gone to? So warm already, not quite summer even. Mm. We're gonna burn up when summer really gets started. Here, sit down now.
Thank you.
However, we're having a very light supper. See, I think that light things are better for this time of year. Same as light clothes are. Light clothes and light food are what warm weather calls for. You know, our blood gets so thick during the winter, it takes a while for us to adjust ourselves when the season changes. It's come so quick this year, I wasn't prepared. All of a sudden, heavens, already summer. I ran to the trunk and pulled out this little light dress. It's terribly old, historical almost, but it feels so good and cool, you
Mother,
know. Yes, honey?
How about supper?
Well, honey, go ask Sister if supper is ready. You know the sister's in full charge of supper. I tell her you hungry boys are waiting for it. Have you met Laura?
No, she...
Let you in. Oh, good. Well, you met already. It's rare for a girl as sweet and pretty as Laura to be domestic. Huh. But Laura is, thank heavens, not only pretty, but also very domestic. Now, I'm not at all. I never was a bit. I never could make a thing but angel food cake.
Well,
in the South, we had so many servants. Gone. All vestige of gracious living gone completely. I wasn't prepared for what the future brought me. All my gentlemen call us the sons of planters, and so, of course, I assumed that I'd be married to one and raise my family on a large piece of land with plenty of servants. But man proposes and woman accepts the proposal. You vary that old saying a little bit. I married no planner. I married a man who worked for the telephone company. That gallantly smiling gentleman over there. Yeah. A telephone man who fell in love with long distance. Now he travels and I don't know where. But what am I going on about my tribulations? Tell me yours. I hope you don't have any.
Mine.
Tom,
Yes,
Mother? This supper nearly ready.
It looks to me like supper is on the table.
Oh, well.
Oh, let me look there. Oh, lovely. Where's Sister?
Laura's not feeling well. She says she thinks she better not come to the table.
What? Oh, nonsense. Laura! Oh, Laura!
Yes, Mother?
You really must come to the table. We won't be seating until you come to the table. See, come in, come in, Mr. O'Connor.
Thank you, ma'am.
Now, you sit over there, and I'll, Laura? Laura Wingfield, y'all keeping us waiting, honey. We can't say grace until you come to the table.
Laura!
Laura! Why, Laura, you are sick, darling. Here, Tom, help your sister into the living room. Yes, Sid. Now, you sit in the living room, Laura, and rest on the sofa. Well, see, standing over the stove made her ill, Mr. O'Connor. Here, see it? I told her that it was just too warm this evening, but... Oh, is Laura all right now, Tom?
Yes. Oh,
what is that? Rain? Oh, a nice cool rain has come up. I think we may have grace now. Tom, honey, you say grace.
For these and all thy mercies, God's holy name be praised.
Amen.
Amen.
Half an hour later, dinner is just being finished. Laura is still huddled on the sofa in the other room, her feet drawn under her, her eyes wide and watchful. There is a steady murmur of rain, but it is slackening and soon stops. The air outside becomes pale and luminous as the moon breaks out. The lights in both rooms flicker, then go out.
Hello there, Mr. Lightbulb.
Where was Moses when the lights went out? Do you know the answer to that one, Mr. O'Connor?
No, ma'am. What's the answer?
In the dark. Now, everybody sit still while I light the candles. Well, isn't it lucky we have them on the table? So where's a match? Which of you gentlemen can provide a match?
Here.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Not at all, ma'am.
Well, I guess the fuse is burned out. Mr. O'Connor, can you tell a burnt-out fuse? I know that I can, and Tom is a total loss when it comes to mechanics. Oh, now, you be careful. Don't you bump into something. We don't want our gentleman caller to break his neck. Now, wouldn't that be a fine howdy-do? Oh.
Where's the fuse box?
Oh, it's right here next to the stove. Oh. Can you see anything?
Just a minute.
Electricity, a mysterious thing. Wasn't it Benjamin Franklin who tied a key to a kite? Now, we live in such a mysterious universe, don't we? Some people say that science clears up all the mysteries for us, but in my opinion, it only creates more. Have you found it yet?
No, ma'am. All the fuses look okay to me.
Tom.
Yes, Mother?
That light bill I gave you several days ago, the one I told you we got the notices about...
Oh, yeah?
You didn't neglect to pay it by any chance.
Why, I...
You didn't. I might have known it.
Shakespeare probably wrote a poem on the light bill, Mrs. Winkler.
I might have known better than to trust him with it. There's such a high price for negligence in this world.
Maybe the poem will win a $10 prize.
Well, we'll just have to spend the remainder of the evening in the 19th century before Mr. Edison made the Mazda lamp.
Candlelight is my favorite kind of light.
Oh, well, that shows you romantic. But that's no excuse for Tom. Well, we got through dinner. Very considerate of them to let us get through dinner before they plunged us into everlasting darkness, wasn't it, Mr. O'Connor? Now, Tom, as a penalty for your carelessness, you can help me with the dishes.
Let me give you a hand.
No, indeed you will not.
I ought to be good for something.
Good for something? You... Why, Mr. O'Connor, nobody's given me this much entertainment in years as you have.
Oh, now, Mrs. Wingfield.
No, I'm not exaggerating, not one bit. But, sister, it's all by her lonesome. Now, you go keep her company in the parlor. I'll give you this lovely old candelabrum that used to be on the altar of the Church of the Heavenly Rest. Now, it was melted a little out of shape when the church burnt down. Lightning struck it one spring. Gypsy Jones was holding a revival at the time, and he intimated that the church was destroyed because the Episcopalians gave car parties. And how about you coax and sister to drink a little wine? I think it'd be good for her. Can you carry both at once?
Sure. I'm Superman. Oh.
Now, Thomas, get into this apron.
Hello there, Laura.
Hello.
How are you feeling now? Better?
Yes. Yes, thank you.
This is for you. A little dandelion wine.
Thank you.
Drink it, but don't get drunk. Where shall I set the candles?
Oh, anywhere.
How about on the floor? Any objections?
No.
I'll spread a newspaper under to catch the drippings. I like to sit on the floor. Mind if I do?
Oh, no.
Give me a pillow?
What?
A pillow.
Oh.
How about you? Don't you like to sit on the floor?
Oh, yes.
Why don't you then?
I will.
Take a pillow. I can't hardly see you sitting way over there.
I can see you.
I know, but that's not fair. I'm in the limelight. Good. Now I can see you. Comfortable?
Yes.
So am I. Comfortable as a cow. Will you have some gum?
No, thank you.
I think that I will indulge with your permission.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the fortune made by the guy that invented the first piece of chewing gum. Amazing, huh? Mm-hmm. The Wrigley Building is one of the sights of Chicago. I saw it summer before last when I went up to the Century of Progress. Did you take in the Century of Progress?
No, I didn't.
Well, it was quite a wonderful exposition. What impressed me most was the Hall of Science. Gives you an idea of what the future will be in America, even more wonderful than the present time. Your brother tells me you're shy. Is that right, Laura?
I don't know.
I judge you to be an old-fashioned type of girl. Well, I think that's a pretty good type to be. I hope you don't think I'm being too personal, do you?
I believe I will take a piece of gum, if you don't mind. Mr. O'Connor, have you kept up with your singing?
Singing? Me?
Yes, I remember what a beautiful voice you had.
You say you've heard me sing?
Oh, yes. Yes, very often. I don't suppose you remember me at all.
You know, I have an idea I've seen you before. I had that idea as soon as you opened the door. It seemed almost like I was about to remember your name, but the name I started to call you wasn't a name, and so I stopped myself before I said it.
Oh, wasn't it Blue Roses?
Blue Rose? My gosh, yes, Blue Roses. That's what I had in my tongue when you opened the door. Isn't it funny what tricks your memory plays? I didn't connect you with high school somehow or other, but that's where it was. It was high school. I didn't even know you were Shakespeare's sister. Gosh, I'm sorry.
I didn't expect you to. You barely knew me.
But we did have a speaking acquaintance, huh?
Yes, we spoke to each other.
When did you recognize me?
Oh, right away.
As soon as I came in the door?
When I heard your name, I thought it was probably you. I knew that Tom used to know you a little in high school, so when you came in the door, well, then I was sure.
Why didn't you say something then?
I didn't know what to say. I was too surprised.
For goodness sakes. You know, this sure is funny.
Yes. Yes, isn't it, though?
Didn't we have a class in something together?
Yes, we did.
What class was that?
It was singing chorus.
Oh.
I sat across the aisle from you in the odd.
Oh.
Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Now I remember. You always came in late.
Yes, it was so hard for me getting upstairs. I had that brace on my leg. It clumped so loud.
I never heard any clumping.
To me, it sounded like thunder.
Well, Well, I never even noticed.
And everybody was seated before I came in. I had to walk in front of all those people. My seat was in the back row. I had to go clumping all the way up the aisle with everyone watching.
You shouldn't have been self-conscious.
I know, but I was. It was always such a relief when the singing started.
Oh, yes, I've placed you now. I used to call you Blue Roses. Mm. How was it that I got started calling you that?
I was out of school a little while with pleurosis. Uh-huh. And when I came back, you asked me what was the matter. I said I had pleurosis, and you thought I said Blue Roses. And that's what you always called me after that.
Oh, I hope you didn't mind.
Oh, no, I liked it. You see, I wasn't acquainted with many people.
As I remember, you sort of stuck by yourself.
I never have had much luck at making friends.
I don't see why you wouldn't.
Well, I started out badly.
You mean being...
Yes, it sort of stood between me...
You shouldn't have let it.
I know, but it did, and...
You were shy with people?
I tried not to be, but never could...
Overcome it?
No, I never could.
I guess being shy is something you have to work out of kind of gradually.
Yes, I guess it...
Takes time?
Yes.
People are not so dreadful when you know them. That's what you have to remember, and everybody has problems. Not just you, but practically everybody has got some problems. You think of yourself as having the only problems, as being the only one who's disappointed, but just look around you, and you will see lots of people as disappointed as you are. For instance, I hoped when I was going to high school that I would be further along at this time, 6 years later, than I am now. Do you remember that wonderful write-up I had in The Torch?
Yes, let me just...
It said I was bound to succeed in anything I went into. Holy jeez, The Torch?
Here you are in the Pirates of Penzance.
I sang the baritone lead.
So beautifully.
Oh.
Yes, beautifully.
You heard me?
All three times.
No.
Yes.
All three performances?
Yes.
Why?
I wanted to ask you to autograph my program.
Why didn't you ask me to?
You were always surrounded by your own friends so much, I never had a chance to.
You should have just...
Well, I thought you might think I was...
Thought I might think you was what? I was beleaguered by females in those days.
You were terribly popular.
Yeah.
You had such a... friendly way.
I was spoiled in high school.
Everybody liked you.
Including you?
Yes, I did too.
Well, give me that program, Laura. There you are. Better late than never.
What a... surprise.
My signature isn't worth very much right now, but someday, maybe, it will increase in value. Being disappointed is one thing, and being discouraged is something else. I am disappointed, but I am not discouraged. I'm 23 years old. How old are you?
I'll be 24 in June.
Well, that's not old age.
No, but...
You finished high school?
I didn't go back.
You mean you dropped out?
I made bad grades in my final examinations. Let me just put this back. How is Emily Meisenbach getting along?
Oh, that Krauthead?
Why do you call her that?
That's what she was.
You're not still going with her?
I never see her.
It said in the personal section that you were engaged.
I know, but I wasn't impressed by that. Propaganda.
It wasn't the truth?
Only in Emily's optimistic opinion.
Oh.
What have you done since high school?
Nothing much.
You must have done something these 6 long years.
Yes.
Well then, such as what?
I took a business course at business college.
Well, how did that work out?
Well, not very well. I had to drop out. It gave me... indigestion.
Oh. What are you doing now?
I don't do anything much. Oh, please don't think I sit around doing nothing. My glass collection takes up a good deal of time. Glass is something you have to take good care of.
What did you say about glass?
Collection, I said. I have one.
You know what I judge to be the trouble with you? Inferiority complex. You know what that is? That's what they call it when someone low rates himself. I understand it because I had it too, although my case was not so aggravated as yours seemed to be. I had it until I took up public speaking, developed my voice, and learned that I had an aptitude for science. Before that time, I never thought of myself as being outstanding in any way whatsoever. Now, I've never made a regular study of it, but I have a friend who says I can analyze people better than doctors that make a profession of it. Oh. I don't claim that to be necessarily true, but I can sure guess a person's psychology, Laura. Yeah? That's what I judge to be your principal trouble. A lack of confidence in yourself as a person. You don't have a proper amount of faith in yourself. I'm basing that fact on the number of your remarks and also certain observations I've made. For instance, that clumping you thought was so awful in high school, you say you even dreaded to walk into class. You see what you did? You dropped out of school. You gave up an education because of a clump, which, as far as I know, was practically non-existent. A little physical defect is what you have, hardly noticeable even, magnified thousands of times by imagination. Do you know what my strong advice to you is? Think of yourself as superior in some way.
In what way would I think?
Why, man alive, Laura, just look about you a little. What do you see? A world full of common people, all of them born and all of them going to die. Which of them has 1/10 of your good points? Or mine? Or anyone else's as far as that goes? Gosh! Everybody excels in some one thing. Some in many. All you've got to do is discover what. Take me, for instance. My interest happens to lie in electrodynamics. I'm taking a course in radio engineering at night school, Laura, on top of a fairly responsible job at the warehouse. I'm taking that course and studying public speaking.
Oh.
Because I believe in the future of television. I wish to be ready to go up right along with it. Therefore, I'm planning to get in on the ground floor. In fact, I've already made the right connections, and all that remains is for the industry to get underway. Full steam. Knowledge, zip. Money, zip. Power. That's the cycle democracy is built on.
Oh.
I guess you think I think a lot of myself.
No.
Now, how about you? Isn't there something you take more interest in than anything else?
Well, I do. As I said, I have my glass collection.
I'm not right sure I know what you're talking about. What kind of glass is it?
Little articles of it. They're ornaments, mostly. Most of them are little animals made out of glass. The tiniest little animals in the world. Mother calls them a glass menagerie. Here's an example of one. If you'd like to see it, this is one of the oldest. It's nearly 13. Oh, be careful. If you breathe, it breaks.
I better not take it. I'm pretty clumsy with things.
Go on, I trust you with him. There now. You're holding him gently. Hold him over the light. He loves the light. You see how the light shines through him?
It sure does shine.
I shouldn't be partial, but he's my favorite one.
What kind of thing is this one supposed to be?
Haven't you noticed the single horn on his forehead?
A unicorn, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Unicorns. Well, aren't they extinct in the modern world?
I know.
Poor little fellow. You must feel sort of lonesome.
Well, if he does, he doesn't complain about it. He stays on a shelf with some horses that don't have horns, and all of them seem to get along nicely together.
Well, how do you know?
I haven't heard any arguments among them.
No arguments, huh? Well, that's a pretty good sign. Where shall I set him?
Oh, put him on the table. They all like a change of scenery once in a while.
Well. Oh, look how big my shadow is when I stretch.
Oh yes, it stretches across the ceiling.
I think it stopped raining. Where does the music come from?
From the Paradise Dance Hall, across the alley.
How about cutting the rug a little, Miss Wingfield?
Oh,
Is your program filled up? Let me have a look at it. Why? Every dance is taken. I'll just have to scratch one out. Oh, a waltz.
I can't dance.
There you go again, that inferiority stuff.
Well, I've never danced in my life.
Come on, try.
Oh, but I'd step on you.
I'm not made out of glass.
How do we start?
Just leave it to me. Hold your arms out a little.
Like this?
A little bit higher. Right. Now, don't tighten up. Mm. That's the main thing about it. Relax.
It's hard not to.
Okay.
I'm afraid you can't budge me.
Oh, where do you bet I can?
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Yes, you can.
Let yourself go now, Laura. Just let yourself go.
Come on.
Not so stiff. Easy does it.
I know, but I'm...
Loosen the backbone. There, now that's lots better.
Am I?
lots better.
Oh. Oh my.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, what did we hit on?
Table.
Did something fall off? I think I...
Yes.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, is it broken?
Oh. Now it's just like all the other horses.
It's lost its
horn. It doesn't matter. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise.
You'll never forgive me. Mm. I bet that was your favorite piece of glass.
I don't have favorites much. It's no tragedy. Oh, glass breaks so easily. No matter how careful you are, the traffic jars the shells and things fall off them.
Still, I'm awfully sorry that I was the cause.
I'll just imagine he had an operation. The horn was removed to make him feel less freakish. Now he will feel more at home with the other horses. The ones that don't have horns.
That's very funny. I'm glad to see that you have a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. You know, you're, well, very different. Surprisingly different from anyone else I know. Mm-hmm. Do you mind me telling you that? I mean it in a nice way. You make me feel sort of... I don't know how to put it. I'm usually pretty good at expressing these things, but this is something that I don't know how to say. Has anyone ever told you that you were pretty? Well, you are, in a very different way from anyone else, and all the nicer because of the difference, too. I wish that you were my sister. I teach you how to have some confidence in yourself. Mm. The different people, not like other people, but being different is nothing to be ashamed of. Because other people are not such wonderful people. They're 100 times 1,000, you're 1 times 1. They walk all over the earth, you just stay here. They're common as weeds, but you? Well, you're blue roses.
But blue is wrong for roses.
It's right for you. You're pretty.
In what respect am I pretty?
In all respects, believe me. Your eyes, your hair are pretty. Your hands are pretty. You think I'm making this up because I'm invited to dinner and have to be nice. Oh, I could do that. I could put on an act for you, Laura, and say lots of things without being very sincere. But this time, I am. I'm talking to you sincerely. I happen to notice you had this inferiority complex that keeps you from feeling comfortable with people. Somebody needs to build your confidence up and make you proud instead of shy and turning away and blushing. Somebody ought to kiss you, Laura. Stumble John, I shouldn't have done that. That was way off beam. Oh. You don't smoke, do you? Would you care for a mint? Peppermint lifesaver? My pocket's a regular drugstore. Wherever I go, I... Oh. Laura, you know, if I had a sister like you... I'd do the same thing as Tom. I'd bring out fellows and introduce her to them. The right type of boys. Boys of a type to appreciate her. Only, well, huh, He made a mistake about me. Maybe I've got no call to be saying this. That may not have been the idea in having me over. But what if it was? There's nothing wrong about that. The only trouble is that in my case, I'm not in a situation to do the right thing. I can't take down your number and say I'll phone. I can't call up next week and ask for a date. I thought I'd better explain the situation in case you misunderstood it and hurt your feelings.
You won't call again?
No, Laura, I can't. As I was just explaining, I've got strings on me, Laura. I've been going steady. I go out all the time with a girl named Betty. She's a homegirl, like you, and a Catholic, and Irish, and in a great many ways, we get along fine. I met her last summer on a moonlight boat trip up the river to Alton on the Majestic. Well, right away from the start, it was love. Being in love has made a new man of me. The power of love is really pretty tremendous. Love is something that changes the whole world, Laura. It happened that Betty's aunt took sick. She got a wire and had to go up to Centralia. So Tom, when he asked me to dinner, I naturally just accepted the invitation, not knowing that you, that he, that I... Oh, I'm a stumblejaw. I wish that you would say something.
Open your hand.
What are you doing that for? You want
here.
Me? You want me to have him? Laura, what for?
A souvenir.
Ooh. Well, well, well. Isn't the air delightful after the shower? Now, I've made you children a little liquid refreshment. Jim? Do you know that song, Lemonade, Lemonade, made in the shade, stirred with a spade, good enough for any old maid?
No, I've never heard it.
Why, Laura, you look so serious.
We were having a serious conversation.
Oh, good. Now you're better acquainted.
Yes.
Oh, you modern young people are much more serious-minded than my generation. I was so gay as a girl.
You haven't changed, Mrs. Wingfield.
Well, tonight, I'm rejuvenated. The gaiety of the occasion, Mr. O'Connor. I'm baptizing myself.
Here, let me.
No. Here now. Ah, I discovered we had some maraschino cherries. I dumped them in juice and all.
You shouldn't have gone to that trouble, Mrs. Wingfield.
Trouble? Well, it was loads of fun. Didn't you hear me cutting up in the kitchen? I bet your ears were burning. I told Tom how outdone with him I was for keeping you to himself so long a time. We should have brought you over much, much sooner. Well, now you've found your way, I want you to be a very frequent caller. Not just occasional, but all the time. Oh, we're going to have a lot of gay times together. I see him coming. Oh, just breathe that air. So fresh and, oh, the moon's so pretty. Well, I'll skip back out.
Oh,
I know where my place is when young folks are having a serious conversation.
Oh, don't go out, Mrs. Wingfield. The fact of the matter is, I've got to be going.
We're going now? Oh, you're joking. Well, it's only the shank of the evening, Mr. O'Connor.
Well, you know how it is.
Oh, you mean you're a young working man and you have to keep working men's hours? Well, we'll let you off early tonight, but only on the condition that next time you stay later. What's the best night for you? Isn't Saturday night the best night for working men?
I have a couple of time clocks to punch, Mrs. Wingfield. One at the morning, another one at night.
My, but you are ambitious. You work at night, too?
Oh, no, ma'am. Not work, but Betty.
Betty? Oh, who's Betty?
Oh, just a girl. The girl I go steady with.
Oh, is it a serious romance, Mr. O'Connor?
We're going to be married the second Sunday in June.
Oh, how nice. Tom didn't mention that you were engaged to be married.
The cat's not out of the bag at the warehouse yet. You know how they are. They call you Romeo and stuff like that. It's been a wonderful evening, Mrs. Wingfield. I guess this is what they mean by Southern hospitality.
Oh, it really wasn't anything at all.
I hope it doesn't seem like I'm rushing off, but I promised Betty I'd pick her up at the Wabash Depot, and by the time I get my jalopy down there, her train will be in. Some women are pretty upset if you keep them waiting.
Yes, I know. The tyranny of women. Well, goodbye, Mr. O'Connor. I wish you luck and happiness and success. All three of them, and so does Laura. Don't you, Laura?
Yes.
Goodbye, Laura. I'm certainly going to treasure that souvenir. And don't you forget the good advice I gave you. So long, Shakespeare! Thanks again, ladies. Good night.
These have a way of turning out so badly. Well. Our gentleman caller was engaged to be married. Tom?
Yes, Mother?
Come in here a minute. I want to tell you something awfully funny.
Has the gentleman caller gotten away already?
The gentleman caller has made an early departure. What a wonderful joke you played on us.
How do you mean?
You didn't mention that he was engaged to be married.
Jim? Engaged?
That's what he just informed us.
I'll be jiggered. I didn't know about that.
That seems very peculiar.
What's peculiar about it?
Well, didn't you call him your best friend down at the warehouse?
He is, but how would I know?
Seems extremely peculiar that you wouldn't know your best friend was going to be married.
The warehouse is where I work, not where I know things about people.
Well, you don't know things anywhere. You live in a dream. You manufacture illusions. Where are you going?
I'm going to the movies.
Oh, that's right. Now that you've had us make such fools of ourselves, the effort, the preparations, all the expense, the new floor lamp, the rugs, the clothes for Laura, all for what? Huh? To entertain some other girl's fiancé. Well, you go to the movies. Go. Don't think about us. Mother deserted, an unmarried sister who's crippled, doesn't have a job. Don't let anything interfere with your selfish pleasure. Just go. Go to the movies.
All right, I will. The more you shout about my selfishness to me, the quicker I'll go. And I won't go to the movies.
Go then. Then go to the moon, you selfish dreamer.
I didn't go to the moon. I went much further. For time is the longest distance between two places. Not long after that, I was fired for writing a poem on the lid of a shoebox. I left St. Louis. I descended the steps of this fire escape for a last time and followed from then on in my father's footsteps, attempting to find in motion what was lost in space. I traveled around a great deal. The city swept about me like dead leaves, leaves that were brightly colored but torn away from the branches. I would have stopped, but I was pursued by something. It always came upon me unawares, taking me altogether by surprise. Perhaps it was a familiar bit of music, perhaps it was only a piece of transparent glass. Perhaps I'm walking along a street at night in some strange city before I have found companions. I pass the lighted window of a shop where perfume is sold. The window is filled with pieces of colored glass, tiny transparent bottles in delicate colors like bits of shattered rainbow. Then all at once, my sister touches my shoulder. I turn around and I look into her eyes. Laura, I tried to leave you behind me, but I am more faithful than I intended to be.
I reach for a cigarette. I cross the street. I run into the movies or a bar. I buy a drink. I speak to the nearest stranger. Anything that can blow your candles out. For nowadays, the world is lit by lightning. Blow out your candles, Laura. And so, goodbye.
In The Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams, Amanda was played by Anastasia Hilly, Tom by George Mackay, Laura Patsy Ferran, and Jim by Chape Dirisu. Music for violin was arranged and performed by Bogdan Vacarescu. The director was Sasha Yevtushenko. The Glass Menagerie was broadcast by arrangement with the University of the South, Sewanee, Tennessee.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.